Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. In this study titled, Do You Frustrate the Grace of God? We will read and look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, and we'll look at the biblical implications of our text. We've been asked to share some of the encouraging letters that we received. So we will begin doing that as time permits. And this week we received a letter from a brother, Michael, in Alabama. He writes, Hi, Pastor. I have been enjoying your sermons on what is the local church, the end time sermons, the spiritually blind replacement theology, Israel and the church being separate, and I know you are speaking the truth. I am praying to meet more like-minded believers in Alabama, hopefully before the rapture. I've been saved out of a Catholic background and have also seen the issues that most mainline denominations have with bringing unbelievers into the church service, then watering down the message, and I have witnessed what that error does to the whole congregation. Also, the King James Version Bible is good, and the fact that a church uses the NIV or ESV automatically shows me that group has been corrupted. The harvest is ripe, and I am encouraged by your ministry. It is Jesus saves, Bible believing and obeying, truth giving, watching for Jesus, and knowing what times we are living in. God bless your ministry. We thanked Brother Michael, and we would encourage you to send us your letters to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Or you can visit our website at bbfohio.com and email us from there. Your letters are a great encouragement to us, and we're glad to know we are being an encouragement to Bible believers all over the world. We're going to read verse 21. We're going to go ahead and read, like to give it the context we need. We'll go to verse 20. So if you would, go ahead and read both verses with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, last week we went over this passage, I am crucified with Christ. You were crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago. When Christ died on the cross, he took your sins upon himself, and he took all of them. Some people try to claim that when he died on the cross, he died for your past sins. When he died, they were all future.
Amen.
Every sin you have committed, are committing, will commit, was future from 2,000 years. The eternal God is not subject to time. And when the eternal God became human and died on the cross, he died for all sin, past, Amen. Present, and future. Now, the payment has been made for all. The Calvinists are crazy when they say he only died for the sins of the elect. He died for all sins. But the appropriation for that sin is only given to those who believe the gospel.
Amen.
So if you are unsaved today, or look back at the day you were saved, up to that day, the appropriation for your sins had already been accomplished. The propitiatory sacrifice for your sins was made. But it is not appropriated until you believe the gospel. Now, the moment you believe, then you are justified. And he says, just as if I never sinned. Because you are then the recipient of that appropriation made for your sins. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ becomes your righteousness. And so that's why when you call Abba Father, you're no longer talking to the devil. You say, what? It's a false doctrine that all human beings are the children of God and God is the Father of all. No, Jesus said that if you reject the gospel, then your father is the devil.
Yeah.
And when you pray before you're saved and you just pray to your father, you're praying to the devil.
That's right. Yeah.
But you become saved, you become a Christian, and you enter in through the name of Jesus Christ. His righteousness
being your righteousness, having been imputed unto you in your account, God looks at you and he now sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that's why he hears and responds to your prayers. You hear people say, God doesn't hear the prayers of a lost person. Well, that's baloney. God hears all prayers. God hears everything. What's God do? He ignores the prayers of the lost person. He hears them, but he ignores them. Why? Because you're not his child. Some kid comes up to me and says, hey, Papa, give me $5. I'm going to say, where's your mother? I ain't giving you $5. You're not my son. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you, I'm going to walk up and ask you for $5. You're going to hand it out to everybody to ask. Amen. God works that way. You approach him in the name of Jesus, having the righteousness of his son, then you are adopted into the family, and now you can cry, Abba, Father. Amen. And you can ask for things. He won't always give it to you.
Amen.
He gives you what you need and what you ought to have because he loves you enough not to give you things.
Amen.
Amen. I preach that every Christmas and every birthday when kids are asking for things. And, you know, I've said no plenty of times. Yeah, Johnny?
I'm just mentioning, yes, you were, there are times, though, that he gives you things you want to.
Yeah.
It's
just like I do my kids. I give them food, I give them shelter, I give them clothing, and every once in a while I'll even buy them something they don't really need, they just want.
Right.
But if it's going to destroy you, I'm not going to give it to you.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, here's the question. Brother Dwayne, I hope he sees this. I'm not telling him. He's just going to have to. I'm going to find out if he watches. But yesterday, when it's too cold, honestly, I couldn't go outside. I mean, my breathing, I wrap my head up, and I still come away with my lungs just saying, what is wrong with you? Get indoors. My lungs talk to me like that. He's out there. Look at him. Look at that smile. But he's holding a sign that is asking the question that the Galatian church needed to answer. They were trying to earn salvation by keeping the law. The world, all world religions, including some that call themselves Christian, try to earn it. And the question is, if you could earn it, why did he die? If you could earn salvation, why did Jesus go to the cross? If you can be saved as a Muslim, why did Jesus die on the cross? If you can be saved as a Buddhist, why did Jesus die on the cross? The fact is, you can't be saved in any religion, and even Christendom
Amen.
Will send you to hell.
Amen.
It's the gospel that saves.
Amen.
And it's because he died and paid for sin, all sin. He died for all the sins you commit, and he died for all sinners.
Amen.
And he accomplished that on the cross. And that's what the Galatian believers didn't get, and too many Christian, professing Christians today don't get it. They frustrate. Look at that in verse 21. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You do if you believe you have to do something to either earn or keep your salvation.
Yeah.
If you believe that your works somehow merit the grace of God, because it's all grace.
Amen.
And so if you think that by doing something you merit salvation or being kept saved, then you're frustrating the grace of God. Now, how do you frustrate the grace of God? Well, you frustrate God's grace whenever you thwart the grace of God. There's one of the ways you frustrate the word of efforts to merit grace thwarts God's grace.
Yeah. Amen.
Grace by works is an absurdity. When you add any works, that just totally destroys grace. That's like saying, it's dark in here. And you say, well, I actually can see pretty good. Now, Martha, there are lights on in the room. Now, what's funny is, now Martha understands we are not making fun of Martha. We love Martha. And because we love her, we love to joke with her. And one day, I said, I was going to stop in at your house, but I saw there wasn't any lights on. Get it? She don't use lights. You know what I'm saying? Well, those of us with sight, if we have a light on, it's not dark in the room anymore. Now, using Martha, because I know she loves to be used as an illustration, using Martha, right now, it's always dark. When she looks around, it's dark. But when she found Jesus, spiritually, the light came on.
Amen.
And the light is in Martha, and I know people who know Martha know that.
Amen.
The light is on. There are people with 20/20 vision who are in darkness.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we've talked to Martha about that, because Martha is normal, she's human, and she's talked about how, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to have sight? But to have sight and to be spiritually in darkness is a million times worse. One of the Martha's going to pass on one of these days, and immediately the first face she's going to see is Jesus.
Amen.
Think of all the grief that saved her. She'd have to look at all of us if she had something. It's exciting. Amen. See what happens when the spiritual light comes on? You start to see the world different. You know, the battle you and I as Christians fight is not to think in the flesh.
Right.
We're always... That's why Christians, and I believe a lot of them are saved. Don't get me wrong. I believe you can be saved and be wrong about things in the Bible. Even be wrong about your security and your walk in the Lord. You can be saved and thwart the grace of God. Did you know that?
Yeah.
People do it all the time. Even people who profess not to believe works has anything to do with it, and yet they become legalistic and they thwart their walk with God. And when you're a Christian, the biggest battle is to stop yourself from thinking in the flesh. Just like when you face death. Man, if we could just think biblically, we could have nothing but joy facing death. And the battle is the grief of the flesh and overcoming that with the truth of the Spirit. Same thing goes with your relationship and your walk with the Lord. You also frustrate God's grace when you set aside the grace of God. Many people are saved by grace, but then seek to be kept by works. Saved by grace and then think you're kept by works, you're setting aside the grace of God. This frustrates the grace of God in your daily walk. There are many, many Christians, and I would not hesitate to say the majority, and maybe even call it the mass majority, who don't walk daily in victory because they think it's up to them. They think that their walk with God is up to their performance. And that God is up there like this, with his little hand, his little notebook, and his little ink pen, and he's looking down and he's checking off good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. And if the good doesn't outweigh the bad, he is angry with you. And if the bad does outweigh the good, he's going to stomp on you. How can you be happy under that kind of thing? If you can be, you're better than me and all the Christians I know. Because Christians who have... Because I've been under that system. I've been in the system where you walk in and you're considered holy by how you look. I've been in those kind of churches where you walk in and if someone found out you went a certain place, did a certain thing, talked to certain people or whatever, you were considered less than holy, less holy than them. If you... It doesn't. There's all kinds. There's a list that people have to keep, and when you do that, you frustrate the grace of God. You have just exchanged your inheritance for a mess of pottage. When you start to walk by works, saved as can be, and yet you set aside the grace of God and frustrate it by doing that. You also frustrate God's grace whenever you nullify the grace of God. What do you mean? When a system of works replaces grace, then grace is nullified.
Yeah.
This is found in many groups today. I could begin to name the churches that you could go to, and when you walk in, the first thing they want to do is make you feel welcome, and then as soon as you feel welcome, that's when they come in with the list.
Yeah.
Once they see that you're plugging in, the lists come out. And they replace grace. The preacher, in some churches, the pastor becomes the Holy Spirit. In some churches, the pastor will tell you who to marry, what car to buy, where to live, and then also how to dress, who your friends should be. You think I'm kidding. Some of you have never been under that sort of thing. I'm telling you, it's more prevalent than you'd think. And if you don't listen to them, you fall out of favor. It's like you're backslidden. But all you did was not listen to the preacher. It didn't have anything to do with God. That's cultic. We've had people come in here and leave because I wouldn't be cultic. We've had people basically insist that we set up these rules and tell people they have to do this and do that. And I said, listen, I agree with you that I think they should stop doing that. Now let's pray that the Lord convicts them and that they stop doing it. Because if I walk up to you, for example, with kids, if you just say, now, at 5 p.m. every night, you are going to sit down and read your Bible, and you're going to read three chapters, and then I want a synopsis. Your kids are going to hate that. They're going to hate the Bible. Why? Because that's not grace. That's not being moved by the Spirit. That's legalism. It's rules. So what do? You encourage your children to read the Word. You have family Bible time. You get them into a Bible teaching church, but then you let the Holy Spirit lead them in their personal walk. You say, well, I've seen kids do that and go off the deep end. They will. But if you try to force feed them, they'll go off the deep end too. What they'll do is they'll learn to play a game in front of you, and then they'll live a double life.
Yeah.
That's what, not only kids do that, adults do that. I've seen it, adults in church show up on Sunday, make you think, oh yeah, I love my Bible. Oh yeah, I read. And they're not reading the Bible. They're not growing daily. They just showed up for church. Won't be long. Won't be long. You'll see it. Stuff happens. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Have you not seen anybody like that?
Amen.
And saw them drop off the edge?
Amen.
Refusing to listen to biblical counsel the whole way off the cliff. I'm going to say it again. Ashley said it. I was coming in. I was thinking it. And I was walking in. And she's talking to, I think she's talking to your dad. And she says, people just don't listen to me. I had just thought that coming in that. And I said, Ashley, man, you're just reading my mind. I'm just thinking the same thing. I have people come up to me and ask me point blank something. And I'll give them the biblical answer. It's not debatable. It's not Greg Miller. It's the Word of God. And it's not one of those gray areas. It's a black and white area. They go right out and ignore it. What can you do? Nothing. Pray for them. But trying to see what people do is they see that and they decide, you know what? I can't fix them by just praying for them, so I'm going to make them do what's right. I'm going to put the rules down. Parents do that. Churches do that. And I've been in the churches where he didn't like the fact that he didn't like some of the things people were doing, so he announced one day, from now on, if I find out you're doing that, you can't be in the choir, you can't take up offering, can't be an usher, you can't do this and that. That's what they do. He can't take your salvation away from you, so he has to take something else. But that's what they do. He's thwarting. He's disregarding. He's nullifying. He's frustrating the word of the grace of God. That pastor is. And you can do it to yourself by being sanctimonious. How many of you have heard that word before?
I'm listening here thinking so.
Huh?
I'm thinking a word.
Yeah, you learn it. This is vocabulary time.
Yeah,
like Blue's Clues. Sanctimonious. I spent several years being taught to be sanctimonious. Here's what it means in case you don't know. Making a show of being morally superior to other people. What we used to have is testimony time. Now, I love testimonies, don't get me wrong. But man, in some churches, that can become something. And testimony time was actually boasting time. People would get up and talk about how holy they are. And I have seen it, and you'd think I'm making it up if you thought I was a liar. I've seen it. One lady one time, I thank God that I am not like such and such, and don't do. And I thought, that's like right out of the New Testament. Jesus talked about the Pharisees and how they prayed. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like Greg. I'd say amen, but that's a bad prayer. Amen. Making a show of being morally superior to other people. And you know what? If you're trying to, we like to use the word win them, trying to reach people, and you're going to walk around all smug around them, you stink. They're not going to want to be around you. You approach people, don't approach them on your holiness, because you don't really have any.
Amen.
What you have is the holiness of Jesus. And even your holy acts, your holy deeds, they are not coming forth from you. They are coming forth because you have allowed God to take control of you. And His Spirit is now producing through you. But as soon as you start to take credit for it, crash and burn, baby. It's going to happen. And again, I said it earlier, and we'll say it again. Our greatest battle is to not let the flesh take over.
Amen.
That's our greatest battle.
Amen.
You don't know how many times cuss words are right here, ready to just fly about what's going on in politics, what's going on in society. Mm-hmm. And you see this stuff, and your first reaction is just to curse it.
Yeah.
And then you stop and you say, "Dear Lord," I'm not kidding, you pray. I have to. There's sometimes I become so angry. Now there's a righteous anger, a righteous indignation, and I don't repent of that. But sometimes the way I handle it, I have to repent of. Or the way I almost handle it. It's right there on the edge of my... And I'm like, "Lord, please help me to not allow this to destroy..." Folks, if you look around too much today, it'll destroy your walk. It'll destroy your peace if you don't handle it with prayer. Don't turn it off. God never said to be ignorant and stick your head in the sand like an ostrich.
Right.
But He said, as you look at these things, you better pray about it. You better ask God to help you deal with it. And a lot of people have checked out. I knew people a few 5-10 years ago who knew what was going on in the world, and they saw the signs of the times. They knew the Lord's coming soon. We better be busy about the Lord's work. But they got so focused on the ugliness that they let it destroy their walk because they didn't handle it with prayer. And it did. It destroyed them. Some of them are just on the shelf, not being used of God at all. Others, it actually destroyed their walk. You wouldn't even know they're a Christian now. Knowing what they know and then turning like that. Why? Because it's not them. It's not their flesh. It's all about the Spirit of God. You got to let the Spirit of God work. What implication number one? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In light of what we just looked at with the frustration of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 10. Now think of this. Grace, when truly understood and received, produces men like Paul. You can't be Jesus. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
Jesus never committed the first sin. Jesus never failed. But you know what? Paul was human. And Paul says that we're to follow Him as He follows Christ. Why? Because He's human. Now, you're not going to write books of the Bible, and there's things Paul did that you won't do in specifics, but you can be a Christian like Paul.
Amen.
Paul was human. Paul did everything that he did that was good and wonderful for the Lord by the power of the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of Paul. And you understand that, and you look at verse 10. In 1 Corinthians 15. If you're there, read that with me. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Now look close to that. What is Paul saying? He says, "I am what I am." But he doesn't say, "And you just need to get used to the fact I am what I am." No, he says, "I am what I am." And when he knows what people are saying about it. By this time, people are saying, "Paul, man, you seen that Paul? Oh, he's something else, ain't he? I mean, he used to persecute the church. Took him in, imprisoned them, put him in bonds. Tortured them to the point they blasphemed. He hated the Lord, and now look at him. I mean, the man's like a one-man army." And Paul says, "I labored more abundantly than they all." And if there was a period right after that, that would be a sinful statement. But there's no period there. Watch out for folks who read Bible verses and don't read all the way to the period. Amen?
Well, watch the punctuation period, because some of the newer versions change it.
Yes, but I'm taking for granted you're going to be in a King James Bible, and you're going to read all the way to the period.
Right.
And it says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And what's that little mark right after your word all there?
Semicolon.
There's a dot above a dot. It's not a period. That means, now, this is not, what? It's a colon.
It's a colon.
I'm sorry. Colon. You was close, Johnny. It's not a period. Johnny meant it's not a period. That's what he meant.
It means there's more to come.
And I wasn't paying close enough attention to even realize, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't a period. That's important. So you keep, amen. You keep reading. The thought isn't finished. You know who stops mid-sentence and cuts off the rest of the verse?
Satan.
Satan.
Yes. Yeah.
So there are Christians who labor more than you and I, but they're not doing it by the Spirit of God. They're doing it in the flesh. A lot of them, they'll serve their denomination, or they'll serve their own interests. They'll serve in order to get something. That's not serving God in the Spirit. That's not serving by the grace of God. That's serving by the flesh. So it's important we continue reading, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Oh, he just killed pride. Pride just died. Amen?
Amen.
Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Amen.
But by the grace of God... I mean, you look at the worst sinner on the planet, and I don't mean just somebody who maybe cussed. I mean, you look at the worst sinner on the planet, and but for the grace of God, there go I. There go you. There go me.
Yeah.
It's only by the grace of God that we didn't end up in that same ditch.
Alas, and did my Savior weep, and did my sovereign die. My son.